You stand tonight, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God, found in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, that's a good wholesome Bible word, is it not? I'm glad I'm in the family tonight. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not our power, but in His power, His might. Put on. It's not going to work unless you do it. People don't get in trouble here because of no preaching. We get in trouble in our lives because we don't put on preaching. We don't get in trouble because we put on preaching. We get in trouble because we don't put on preaching. Put on. It's something you're not going to wake up with. You're going to have to do something with it. And then he says the whole armor, don't want any holes left. Boy, if you leave anything exposed, the devil will be sure he'll hit it. That you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes. Boy, any a scheming devil, like a chess game. Boy, he's got everything set up. But aren't you glad that God said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You may be seated tonight. I'm glad we got somebody on the inside. Put on the whole armor of God. I want to say this right quick. The devil will never show you raising your children what it does to have them in church. But I can tell you right now, a family that was here, very faithful. Matter of fact, I can tell you several families that's very faithful. One excuse led to another. Before long, they bounced out of church. Now, one of their children has dropped out of school. Mom and daddy's divorced, separated, pillar to post. Let me tell you what, you don't have to have a mind-boggling ball knocking out of the park every Sunday. Let me tell you something, stability means something in our lives. And you know, we think a lot of times things get routine and just mundane. But let me tell you, it means something to just have discipline at the house of God. You may be surprised to know. Now, maybe this church is not doing what it could do. But I guarantee you one thing, the devil won't show you what it is doing. And I can tell you tonight, there's a lot of families helped because they're under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. Where would our children be? Where would our homes be? Where would my life be without putting on the whole armor of God? And we can't put anything on unless we have it. But I sure am glad that we've got a Bible that is relevant for the day and hour that we live. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, this thing's winding down. They've had the chip invented now for several years. I seen tonight on YouTube, punch in that chip on and punch in Obamacare. Look at the devil. Tell the devil there's a bunch of Democrats in here. Well, the chip's ready and it's ready to be implanted. You can look that up on the computer, hold all your medical data, hold everything about you. You know, Jesus said these times would be coming. So let's don't think it's strange because we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You know, it does matter whether you stand or run. It's easy to run. I mean, it'd be easy just to say, well, I'm taking all my marbles and going home. Not going to serve God. Well, somebody's got to have a place to raise children. Somebody's got to have a place to hear the gospel. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I need preaching. I need the ministering of the Word of God. I need the Spirit of God moving in my life. I need the fellowship with the saints of God at the house of God because of the spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, I want you to stand, having your loins girt about with truth. Right still right, wrong is still wrong. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Just because we're Baptists and saved forever don't give us a license to sin. But I sure am glad when we do sin. He says He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we'll just confess our sin. Then He said, I want your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. My goodness, we ought to know something about this book. And we ought to have that peace within our heart and on our steps. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. I sure am glad I've got that on tonight. It guards my mind, lets me know that it is a better day coming. Thank God for the Sunday school lesson Sunday morning. I'm glad I've still got a song of singing. I'm going to tell you, it may not be as loud and long as it has been, but thank God I've got a place I'm headed tonight that's better than this whole world. And boy, He said, take that helmet of salvation. Are you saved, ready to meet God? That's the most important thing that ever happened to you in your life. Not do you come to church, not are you faithful, not are you doing good, but have you been born again by the grace of God, because that's the only way you're going to heaven. Boy, I got some strange looks here Sunday night. I'm glad I didn't look at them and see them. They're just telling me about them. Amen. Like Brother David says this camera, I sure am glad I can't see everything going on. And He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Father, I pray tonight You'd help us in these few minutes to be a blessing. God, I pray You'd stir in our hearts and help us with the things that we've seen, God, that we've looked at today. Help us, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Well, dealing tonight with the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God, the Bible. I want to say the Bible was the first book ever printed. You know, of all books, it's the most popular seller of all time. The most valuable individual book ever sold. In the King James Bible, which as far as I'm concerned is the only Bible there is, there's been 1 billion copies sold. Now, I don't think our problem is a Bible famine. It's a reading the Bible famine and living by the Bible famine. We've got enough Bibles that we just get in them. The Scriptures have been translated into over 600 languages. Portions of the Bible has been circulated in over 1,000 dialects. It's rightly been called the book of all books. A famous English preacher, Samuel Chadwick, said, I've guided my life by the Bible for more than 60 years. I tell you, there's no book like it. It is a miracle of literature, a perennial spring of wisdom, a wonder of surprises, a revelation of mystery, an infallible guide of conduct, and an unspeakable source of comfort. You know, the Rock of Ages is able to get into some of our school systems by just teaching and preaching out of the Word of God on a good guide of conduct. This right here, a happy conduct and an unspeakable source of comfort. Where would we be without the Word of God? pay no attention to people who discredit it, for they speak without knowledge. The Bible is the Word of God. Study it according to its own direction. Live by its principles. Believe its message. Follow its precepts. No man's truly uneducated who knows the Bible. No one is wise who is ignorant of its teachings. I want to say that again. No man is truly uneducated who knows the Bible. And no one is really wise who is ignorant of the Bible. Seven symbols in the Word of God tonight. First of all, it is as a sword. Boy, it cuts and it convicts the hearer. A lot of times, I don't know why people get it in for the preacher. The preacher didn't write the Bible. Just preaches the Bible. Proclaims the Bible. Heralds it. Tells the good news. But it is the sword and it cuts the hearer. It cuts me to hear it. And it ought to cut you. And if a preacher's really doing his job, if he's not a politician, if he's not campaigning, he ought to be preaching some doctrines and he ought to be preaching some sermons that convict and cut people if they're living wrong. You know, our church loves to be stereotyped. Oh, well, they're a hating church. No, we're not a hating church. We love sinners. We don't fool with sin. And when people do sin and they get right, we forgive them of their sin. Same way with me and you. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. Folks, 50 years ago, every church in this settlement preached the gospel. Now they're in laser shows and Donkey Kong. And now if a man gets up and gets filled with the Holy Ghost, gets the hacking and the slobbering, they think he's a madman. Well, preaching still works. And I think I'm going to stay with what's made this place. The Word of God's what God's honored here. And I bless His good name for a good copy of it tonight. It's a hammer. It breaks down resistance. Jeremiah had something to say. Jeremiah pastored a very difficult era. Brother Joe Arthur preached here in camp meeting about how he was sinking in the mire. But in Jeremiah 23 and 29, there the Bible says, "It's not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." You say, well, he's too hard to reach. He's not too hard for the Word of God, for it's a hammer, and it'll soften things when it hits it. Boy, I sure am glad that it is a hammer, that it breaks down resistance. Then it is a seed. It is to be planted in the heart for salvation. It's a mirror. It shows us where we're wrong. You know, I'm doing pretty good. I go to reading my Bible. I done something today that I've caught myself doing. I'm going to have to quit because I'm getting older and not hardly thinking good as I used to. I'm just sort of about shot out. Somebody say amen. But you can go on and laugh. You about shot out too, I can tell by looking at you tonight. I was on a cell phone talking to one, seen a church member on this side, and I waved the cell phone and just turned left, hadn't even turned on the blink. I heard tires a squalling and a screaming. My goodness, the grace of God's all that happened to me. What are you saying? Well, I owed somebody an apology. I do pretty good to go reading the Bible about my fellow man. I think I'm doing pretty good to see how I'm adding up to the example. Not you. Matter of fact, if I put my life according to some of you, I'd fall short to some of you, but I'd rise above a few of you in a few things. But honey, let me tell you, when we put Jesus Christ as our example, we better realize one thing. There's none good, no, not one. And He is the masterpiece. He's the plan. He's everything. And we all come up short when we go to see Him who He is. Now, it is a mirror. The reason a lot of times we don't want to read it, it shows us how we really are. It's a fire. Boy, aren't you glad when you can read it, it warms our cold hearts. It's nothing like a good Bible message, a happy cold heart. Then it's a lamp. The psalmist David said it was a light unto his path. Sure am glad that, you know, I've got a new iPhone. It's amazing what things do. It's got a built-in flashlight. And to me, you know, we think a whole lot of times about, well, all these things, it's got all these lights that go on. I can punch a little button there and a light come on. But let me tell you, honey, this right here has been given a light for a path for a long, 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 long time. I don't need this to walk by. I got this to walk by. And tonight it is a blessing to have a copy of the light of God. It is milk. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 2. Peter is writing. He says, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Oh, as a baby needs milk, so does a young Christian. And it is the milk of the Word of God. Now I want to say tonight, this book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its history is true. Read it to be wise, believe it to be secure, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map. It's the pilgrim's staff. It's the pilot's compass. It's the soldier's sword and the Christian's constitution. You say, preacher, how do y'all run the church? We run the church by the Bible. That's the best guide, the best map that we have. We exalt Jesus. We love sinners and love saints and preach against sin. There's a better day coming, by the way. All of it's not gloom and doom. I'm glad we've got a hope in us tonight. Now, in the Bible, Christ is its grand object. Our good is its design. And the glory of God to its end, it should fill our memory and rule our heart and guide our feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It's a mine of wealth. It's a paradise of glory and a river of pleasure. The Bible's given to us in life. It'll be open in the great judgment and it will endure forever. It involves the highest responsibility. It will reward the greatest labor and condemn all who trifle of its sacred contents. You know, concerning the Bible, the sword, most of us can identify with Simon Peter. In John 18, 10 and 11, remember when they came for Jesus in the garden? Peter pulled a sword. He cut off a servant's ear named Malchus, but he wasn't aiming for his ear. The grace of God let him cut his ear off. Jesus reached down, put his ear back on. I wish he had restored some of your hearing. Now, Peter made the mistake of trying to fight the spiritual battle with a physical weapon. He engaged the wrong enemy. He worked with the wrong weapon. He used it at the wrong time and in the wrong place. Now, the lesson was well learned, because on the day of Pentecost, Peter, that failure preacher, the one that denied the Lord, he got up and he preached on the day of Pentecost. As a result, thousands were saved. In Ephesians 6 and 12, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers. And then we find in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 4, the Bible says this, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not our fists, our hands, our mouth, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. This is the greatest weapon that we have, the sword of the Spirit of the Word of God. Now, just a few thoughts about this Word of God tonight, and we'll be done. First of all, there is the making of the sword of the Spirit. Now, first of all, there is the mystery of the divine sword. The mystery of the divine sword. This suggests two things to us this evening. First of all, the ownership. Look there in Ephesians 6 and look what it says there in verse number 17. The sword of the Spirit, it belongs to the Holy Ghost. He said this, take the helmet of salvation, not the sword of the church or the sword of the man or the sword of the preacher, but the sword of the Spirit. It's ownership. It's owned by the Spirit. And then this origin, you know how it came into contact, you know how it came into place? It not only belongs to the Spirit, but the Scripture was produced by the Spirit. Look in 2 Peter, chapter number 1. You say, well, preacher, I thought men wrote the Bible. No, God wrote the Bible. He used men. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. You ought to underline this. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, because they'd have never known what to say. But watch this. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, 1 Peter 1 and verse number 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Now the Holy Spirit partners with the Word of God. That's how we're born again. That's why it's so important that we keep the Word of God open in our church. That's why it's so important that we take these tracts and we hand them out to a lost and a dying world. You see, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23, the Word being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now you take Sunday night. No doubt there were several lost people here Sunday night. That's no time to have a laser show. That's time to tell the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when the Word of God is shared, the Spirit of God takes and puts that seed in the heart. That's why it's so important that we've got to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, there's a hard thing never be reached. Well, then we read what Jeremiah said. It's like a hammer. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Boy, I've seen hard men. I've seen tough men. I've seen them crumble under the force of this old-time hammer. Thank God I'm glad I'm a-swinging it tonight. I'm glad I ain't got it down in the toolbox. I'm glad I pick it up every now and then. But you see, the Holy Spirit partners with the Word of God. The Scriptures, they're inspired. Look in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Learn something about your Bible tonight. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 16. The Scriptures are inspired. They are originated with God. You ought to underline this verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. A man called and asked me something today. He said, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like what you've told me, but I know you've told me the truth. For reproof, for correction. And look, for instruction in righteousness. You won't know how to get close to God, read your Bible. You won't know how to stay close to God, stay in your Bible. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. If you believe Genesis 1:1, you ought to believe Luke 16. I believe every verse in our Bible is put there by God for a reason. And so there is the making of the sword. But then, I'm going to tell you something. This mystery of the sword. This mystery of the sword. There's the miracle of the sword. Now, the Bible's a miracle book. It's divine in its origin. It's the Word of God. In this book, there are 40 different writers who produced 66 books. It was written over a period of 1,600 years. They were all in different countries, many, yet there's only one author, the Holy Ghost. They all have one common theme all through the whole Bible. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 24 and verse 44. Luke 24 and verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Here it is, concerning me. Oh, tonight, this book has one common theme, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The phrase, the Word of God, is the Bible's most frequently used name among the Scriptures. In the first five books, God says it's repeated 700 times. 4,000 times in the Old Testament we read the Word of the Lord. It all testifies that when the Bible speaks, God speaks. According to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, every word of God's inspired and proceeds from the mouth of God. So listen, because it's inspired, it's inerrant. For God cannot lie. That felt so good, I'm going to say it again. Because it's inspired, it is inerrant. Because God cannot lie. Because it's inerrant, it's infallible. For it cannot fail. Cannot fail. Listen, Christian, I don't care what the devil's telling you about your troubles or your bills, it cannot fail. It's infallible. Because it's infallible, then it is immutable. For it cannot change. The Bible undoubtedly is the very Word of God. The making of the sword. But then the marks of the sword. The Word of God is living. Hebrews 4 and 12. What's this verse in your Bible? And underline it. Hebrews 4 and verse number 12. For the Word of God is quick. That word means to be made alive. Aren't you glad that not only do we have a copy of the written Word, we have the living Word. Oh, it's alive. What do you mean it's alive? Oh, it talks to me. Does it ever talk to you? It's not a dead book. It's a living book. It's an alive book. Look what he says. For the Word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is asunder of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Boy, it gets down deep. It is a living book. It's a life-giving book. I sure am glad there's been some old preacher stand up and preach it, and it's brought forth life from the Word of God. You know, it's a big difference in a man standing up preaching out of a Sears and Roebuck or Reader's Digest or a Dr. Phil and taking the Word of God, letting the Spirit of God do a work in their life. Oh, church, never forget we've got to have the Word of God. The Word of God is principle, it's priority It's got to be everything that this church is all about, the preaching of the Word. I love singing. Thank God. I just wished I could do some of it. But I love listening to it. And I love Brother David and Brother Tim and them letting me join in, sort of in the background sometimes, just humming along. But I'm going to tell you, you sang every song in the Redback Hymnal that will never take place of this book, friend. Oh, I love this book. And you see, not only the making of it, but the marks of it. The Word of God is living. It's life-giving. Then 1 Peter 1:25. Look what Peter said. 1 Peter 1:25. And you can underline this too. It's a good one to underline. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word by the Gospel is preached unto you. Let me tell you, this book isn't going no place. This Word has been preserved for years and years and years. As Moses penned down the first four or five books 3,500 years ago, God had it in a vault. God had it safe. God had it saved that we could have a copy. And let me tell you something, friend. The Word of God will endure. You see that? That word endure, you know what that means? It means it will have pressure on it. Boy, the Bible's got pressure in our country tonight, doesn't it? Isn't this amazing that we have a missionary stand up in our church and we're amazed that they can go in and read out of the Bible in the Heard County School System? That's why is that amazing to us? A light ought to come on. You can go to the Philippines and preach it in any school in the whole country, but not in America. So it says it will endure. In other words, it's going to bring persecution. I remember one morning in Sunday school, I was up preaching in a big way. Got talking about the King James Bible. Some of y'all remember this. And I just happened to be looking. I wished I wouldn't. But it just so happened. He looked at his wife. He'd done that right there and stood up. Got two children. Out the back door they went. I said, well, it ain't locked, neighbor. Amen. The Word of God, let me tell you, it's been criticized. This ain't the first year the Word of God's been criticized. We're not the only generation of Christians that's been persecuted for worshiping our God and preaching this book. And let me tell you, it ain't going to get no easier either. Matter of fact, it'll come a time, y'all watch it, I'm a young man yet. I feel old. But if God lets me live to 75, 80 years old, it's going to be amazing if I stay out of jail. Do you hear me tonight? Hate crime. Ain't nobody hating nothing. We're just reading the Bible. Homosexuality still wrong tonight. Shacking up still wrong. Adultery still wrong. Fornication still wrong. Drunkenness is wrong. But you know, now you're going to label somebody and now they're going to bring lawsuits on you because you've bring a big discriminatory lawsuit against people. I'm going to tell you something, leadership, we better have our bylaws right. They better be governed and ruled by this Bible. You'll be amazed what people will do. Boy, we in some kind of generation. But let me tell you something. This ain't the first group that's been persecuted for standing on what's right. You underline it. He said, but the Word of God will endure. I wish everybody loved it. Endure forever. It's going to stand when the world's burning. Oh, how we need to know about our Bible. I'll be honest with you. Me and some preachers have talked, and they're in the gear that this ministry's in. I'm talking about preachers running and enjoying what they preach. Let's say a little emotional spirit. You know what tickles me about y'all? I can have one of the greatest Bible preachers in America. One of my buddies had him. I won't call his name, but he can quote nearly the whole book of Revelation, never look at it, not miss a word. He went and preached to his people at Old Timers Day the other day, and he called me. He said, "Hey, Brother Ken, I had so-and-so in to preach." He said, "My people looked at me like, well, when's he going to start preaching?" And you know, it bothers me sometimes. I'm going to stand before God. Maybe I hadn't taught you more. But it's going to endure forever. This is the grandest thing you've had in your hands all day. The Word of God is living, it's life-giving, and I sure am glad it's lasting. The making of the sword, the marks of the sword, and the ministry of the sword. The Word of God is engaged in an active ministry. It is powerful and energetic. When God spoke it in Genesis, things began to happen. Planets moved through space. Sun shone in the heavens. Stars twinkled at night. When Jesus spoke, diseases fled. Death retreated. Storms ceased to blow. 3,000 years ago, Psalmist David wrote, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous together." Can I say this about preachers that we have? Listen to the content of the sermon. And don't look at their style of preaching. The Word of God's what's going to help us. The Word of God has power to convict us of sin. On the day of Pentecost, when sinners heard it, they came to Christ. It penetrated and cut the heart. The Apostle Paul, known as Saul, one of the hardest men on the pages of our Bible, God smote him down. The Word of God has power to convict. It has power to convert. Look in Romans 10:17, closing tonight. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, preachers tonight, I know a lot of times sermons, some are easier preached. I've probably got 50 that I love preaching better than the 1,000 that I've got built. But you know something? You don't have to be swinging off the chandeliers every time, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me tell you, it'd be biblically just fine for me to stand up here and open the Bible and read 3 chapters and we'd go home every service. We love mannerisms, don't we? It's the Word of God that gets the job done. It's not the man. The Word of God. The Word of God has power to cleanse from sin. Jesus said in John 15, "Now you're clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you." The Word of God has power to comfort the sorrowing. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. I'll never forget this, and I'm done tonight. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." He said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or dead, that you sorrow not of even as others which have no hope. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." In verse 18, I sure am glad the Word of God, not only does it convict of sin and convert the soul, but I sure am glad that it comforts the sorrowing. Oh, I'm glad we've got the Word of God tonight. Now, I want to say this. The mastery of the sword. Learn to use it. Any man in that Roman battalion, he is a swordsman. He knew how to use his sword. There's two kinds. It was a short and it was a long. And I'm going to tell you tonight, we ought to all be masters of the sword. We ought to know how to use it and where things are. You ought to write in your Bible. Nothing wrong with writing in your Bible. I've got one Bible. I've been preaching here 18 years out of it. It's falling all to pieces. I bought a new Bible trying to bring it over, and it's just hard to do. You ought to know, you know where your remote control is. You ought to know where it is in your Bible. If somebody at your job asks you, I want to know how to be saved, can you take your Bible and show them how to be saved? You ought to be able to. The mastery of the sword. We ought to memorize it. We ought to meditate upon it. And we ought to mean what it says. Stand on the Word of God. I'm glad I got a copy of it tonight. Anybody here that don't have a copy, don't have the money to get a copy, please let some of the leadership know. We'll get you a copy of the Word of God. It's the most wonderful thing that's ever walked in the doors of our church is a copy of the King James Bible. You say, preacher, why don't we just get us a screen, put words up? Well, let me tell you a couple things that does. It keeps people from being familiar with their Bible. Oh, we're going to get us a missionary screen, wanting to go up and hide, and we put a projector on. There's some things now I wish I could show the church. I wish I could show the church, the new church down in Houma they've just opened that our church is. So some things that will impact us and help us. But let me tell you something. Would y'all do me a favor? When I go to popping big screens up around here and putting my sermons on there, would y'all remind me where I come from? And let me tell you something. You see this red back book right here? It's here for a reason. These songs have content. These songs have a message. That's why they're in our church. And that's why we need to know about the Word of God tonight. You say, preacher, well, I can't understand it. Well, I don't understand everything about it. But there's a couple things in there I've got it. And so I just stand on what I've understood. Thank y'all for being here tonight. Stand with us.